Our scripture reading for this morning comes to us from the book of Genesis. Listen for God's holy word. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept loudly so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brother, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me into slavery in Egypt. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be no plowing or harvest. God sent me before you to preserve life, to preserve a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me like a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father Israel and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me a lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not be delayed. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept, while his brother Benjamin wept on his neck as well. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after this, his brothers talked with him." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Scripture and our experience reveal that God can speak to us, God does speak to us, in different ways. When it came to Joseph's ancestors, his great-grandfather, and his father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God was close by. God was like a character in the drama that was their lives. God would show up in their lives. God would appear and be present. There God was, present as a divine man, or through the presence of God's angel, or simply present, speaking to God's servant through the air. God's presence would be felt. There would be a power and a majesty in God's presence, and God's voice, God's words would be heard. God's words came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then God would slip again behind the curtain of heaven, distant and hidden, but seemingly always ready to show up again with another word of grace, another promise to affirm, more directions to give, more encouragement. For Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's relationship had a straightforwardness to it. God would show up in their lives, and God would just reveal God's plans for them and for their families. God would show them the plan that God was working on. God would say, "Look here, I am going to give you a son." God would show up in their lives, and God would say, "It's time to move again. Pick up your family, pick up your tents, pick up your flocks. It is time to go, and I will go with you. And I will show you where you need to go." God would say, "Here is what I am going to do." And then Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would simply need to put their faith in God's words. God was there, present in their lives, present and accounted for, a character in the drama that they were living. God was there, speaking, directing, explaining, and giving peace. God's relationship with Joseph, the character that we've been reading about these last few weeks, is different. In the Joseph story, God's presence and God's voice mysteriously recede, and they are no longer felt, heard, or experienced. For the first 37 chapters of the book of Genesis, God had been a character in the drama, like an actor in a play. God was there on stage or just in the wings. At times, God could be seen, and God had important stage directions to enact. And at times, God had lines that were delivered from just off stage, but God was there, present and important to the story at the important turns of events. In Joseph's story, God is mentioned, but mysteriously, God's presence and God's voice are missing from the drama. As Joseph's story takes its turns, we who have been reading through the book of Genesis about God's relationship to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, we expect to find God giving directions, acting and showing up in the drama, giving divine perspective and comfort, reassurances, encouragements, and peace. But in Joseph's story, God is suddenly, mysteriously missing. Joseph has dreams, but God is not there to explain to Joseph what these dreams mean or when those dreams will come true. Joseph loses favor with his brothers, and they strip him of his coat of many colors, and they throw him into a pit, and they sell him into slavery. And we expect God to show up in that moment to explain to Joseph what is happening, or to give him some encouragement, to give Joseph some direction for overcoming this time of trial and exile. We expect God to affirm God's promise of deliverance and salvation. But in the story, God is missing. God is silent. There are no divine actions, no divine words to come to Joseph's aid. Joseph is then sold into slavery in Egypt, and eventually he ends up worse off than a slave. He ends up in prison under false accusations. And for years, Joseph sits in an Egyptian prison. For years, Joseph faces difficulties, hardships, and sorrows. And through it all, we wait for God's words. And through it all, God is silent. Through it all, God is seemingly missing. And I imagine that those years in prison were the hardest years of Joseph's life. He had grown up hearing the stories about God's relationship with his ancestors, his great-grandfather, his grandfather, and his father Jacob. He had heard how God had intervened in their lives. He had heard how God was prone to just show up at crucial and critical moments in their lives. He had heard how God had been there close by with direction and perspective and promises and salvation. And now, Joseph experienced none of it. He had nothing. He had silence. He had distance. And I imagine that Joseph felt very alone. Eventually, Joseph's situation changes. God still doesn't show up in the story. God is still silent and missing, but Joseph finds his way from a prison to a palace. Pharaoh learns that Joseph has a gift for interpreting dreams, and Joseph's abilities rescue Egypt and all of the surrounding area from a terrible famine. Even Joseph's family far off in Canaan are affected by this famine, and his brothers come down to Egypt because they hear that there is a man there who can sell them grain. The brothers do not know that this man with whom they are dealing, who they are buying food from, is their long-lost brother Joseph, the same brother whom years before they had stripped of his colorful coat and sold into slavery. When Joseph reveals himself, Joseph is overwhelmed by the experience, and he weeps. Joseph is overwhelmed for many reasons. He is definitely glad to be reunited with his brothers. He is glad to learn that his father is still alive. He is glad to know that it will be possible for him to bring his father and their entire household to come and live with them in the safety and in the providence of Egypt. He is glad for all of these earthly reunions, but Joseph's words reveal that he is feeling more than earthly connections at this crucial moment in his life. God had felt far off. God had been silent and mysterious for all of Joseph's life. God had not been present in the same way that God had been present to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in that moment of relief and reunion, Joseph realizes and confesses aloud that God had been silently working in his life all the way through. Joseph comforts his brothers with these words. He says, "Come closer to me. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me into slavery. For God sent me to preserve for you life. God sent me before you to preserve a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me, but God." People of God, this story and God's inspiration, God's illumination of this story this morning reminds us that God can act in our lives. God can speak to us in many and different ways. Sometimes in our lives, God is close by and present as God was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sometimes in our lives, God does show up in powerful and convicting ways. Sometimes in our lives, we hear and receive God's word clearly and powerfully. We are perhaps at an impasse in our lives, an important juncture. A decision needs to be made. A relationship either needs to begin or end. A move or a change must occur. Confirmation, encouragement, direction is needed, and God does show up with provision and direction, with peace and power. At these moments, we might be praying, we might be reaching out to God, looking for God's intervention. And God is there with an answer as we pray. At other moments, we might not be praying. We might not know that we can turn to God, but God shows up anyway with power and surprising direction to offer us God's amazing grace. Sometimes in our lives, God shows up like God showed up for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But sometimes God works in our lives like how God worked in the life of Joseph. Sometimes in our lives, we, like Joseph, find ourselves tossed and tumbled by the world around us. We find ourselves pushed and pulled through our lives, wondering all the while where God is and when God will show up to give direction or comfort or an explanation or some perspective on the trouble we have experienced, the heartache that we know, the pain and the disappointment that we are experiencing. Like Joseph, we might find ourselves spending years locked away in a lonely prison, wondering all the while about those stories that we heard in our childhood of a God who is close by and able to give amazing grace and enduring peace. Like Joseph, we might spend years, decades even, feeling as if God has disappeared and left us to the devices of the world around us and the people therein. Today, God reminds us through Scripture that each of these experiences are experiences that have been known and felt and experienced by God's servants, by people of faith. At times, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew how God was at work in their lives. They knew what God was up to. They heard God's words clearly. They knew God's promises. They felt God's direction. Joseph also himself came to a point where he could look back at the twists and the turns of his life, and Joseph could affirm that God was there. God was close by in those troubling times, working God's mysterious plans towards God's fulfillment. Joseph could affirm that God was active and working in his life, but in silent and mysterious ways. But Joseph also spent long and hard years wondering if God was with him, wondering if God would come by him again. where are we? And where are you this morning as one of God's beloved servants in this world? Perhaps like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you find yourself following God's direction. Perhaps you have recently experienced God's close presence and God's directing words. Perhaps you are feeling close to God in powerful and amazing ways. Perhaps this morning you are feeling like Joseph, overwhelmed with the realization looking back that God was there, but silent and mysterious. Or perhaps this morning we still feel locked away in a prison of wonder and doubt. Perhaps we, like Joseph, are in the middle of that time period where we are in prison in Egypt, wondering if God will speak again. This morning, God reminds us in grace that each of these experiences are experiences felt by people of faith. If you are amazed at God's presence and God's closeness, the direction, the grace that God is showing in your life, then give your praises to God. If you are overwhelmed by God's mysterious providence in your life, let your prayers of gratitude rise up to God's ears. And if you are in a time of hardship and doubt, if you find yourself a prisoner in a prison of Egypt, be encouraged. You are not the first, and you are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.